of Joshua. Most all of us are familiar with Joshua because Joshua was the successor of a man by the name of Moses. And we want to talk about this for just a little bit this evening. And as I turn there with you, I want you to look at verse number 22. Joshua chapter 24, verse 22. Let me go back to verse 21. I apologize. Verse 21. Ever since Sunday, there's been several events, situations, messages, other preachers, my own heart, circumstances that I've been looking at in our society. And I'm not saying society sways my messages. That's not what I'm saying. But yet I do believe that there are things that we need to wake up to that's going on in our society today. That I believe that the church needs to really pay attention. I think Christians need to pay attention. I have came to the conclusion at my age, I may not be able to help a lot of people in the world change their way of living or their way of life, but I can change me. So when I preach tonight, I'm not preaching at you. I want you to understand that. I'm not preaching at you. I also want you to understand that I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not angry at nobody. But there's some things that I believe that I will probably say in the near future that if I don't season it correctly and properly and right, that I could be labeled as a hater. And I don't want nobody to think, well, Pastor Green at Thomasville Church of God just hates people. I don't hate nobody. I hate the devil. But I do believe today that there is, I guess that's the right word, not are, but is, there is a difference between right and wrong, saved and unsaved, what's moral and what's immoral, what is correct and what is incorrect. Again, I'm not mad. I want you to know I'm not mad. But yet it seems like today, even before I read this text, I want to lay somewhat of a foundation to get people to understand that too many people today, myself at times, I find myself needing to buckle down. I need to get my spiritual life out of the ditch. I need to get my spiritual life out of the gray. And you know as well as me what the book of Revelation says about the church of Laodicea. Because, and I'm not going to go there, but again, I just want to make reference to that. Because they thought they were good and increased with goods. They thought they were okay. But they were blind. They were halt. They were lame. They were miserable. They were naked. But they were lukewarm. And I have a great concern as a pastor because I feel like that we have lived so long on a slippery slope. Now, you may not agree with me tonight, and that's okay. But I'm just telling you how I feel. And I'm not blowing off steam. I hope this is divinely inspired from the Word of God this evening. But I've looked at my own life, and I looked at the life of the church, be it years ago, and I can't live in the past. I can only move forward to the future. But I'm going to say this and move on. That years ago in the church, people had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they had, let me use this term, they had fire in their eyes. They had a praise on their lips and a leap in their step. And it didn't take you long to figure out whether or not they were living for God. Because living for Jesus was the very priority of their life. It was not a byproduct of their life. It was their life. And I believe today that we're at the place in society at large. If I had a title, this was my title. Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on God's side tonight? When we look into the book of Joshua, chapter number 24, Joshua, again, he was getting ready to pass once again the baton over to someone else. This was his last address to the leadership of Israel. If you go back and you read this, he called all the tribe to get all the tribes together. He called all the elders together. And this was his farewell address. And the thing that you can see with the concern in Joshua's voice and the words that he spoke was there is a great concern in this man's, I believe it was a great concern in his tone, to call the children of Israel back to God's side, lest they once again be consumed by the idol gods of the other tribes. Now again, you may not agree with me tonight, and I believe you do, because we're in a serious state in the church. And the reason I said that is because we've got to get out of the gray. And the reason that I say that is because so many, and I can't say what other people are doing. I have no idea. I don't know your life tonight. You don't know my life tonight. I don't know other churches tonight. But I do believe that there comes a time in a person's life, and we've got to make a decision of whether we're going to live our lives and lead our churches as the Laodicean church. I wish that thou were cold or hot, because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. So tonight, who's on the Lord's side? When you look here in the scripture, we can see in verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, this was their reply, and he said, but we say, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. They agreed among themselves, we're going to serve God. I believe it's time that we as a church determine in our own hearts and determine in our own lives as a church, as a body, that we're going to serve God. Now, I will say this, that you're going to be ostracized. You're not going to be popular. People are not going to like you. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to turn away from you. Your own family is not going to like you. You say, how do you know that? I've lived it. But there comes a time where I have to make my mind up. I had rather serve God than anything else I know. The world's not going to like you. The world's not going to like me. I'm not going to be an agitator to the world. 99.999% of everything I see on Facebook, I just scroll. And I don't get involved in all the hoopla on social media. I could care less about social media. The only reason I'm on there is to keep up with the church. That's it, period. I don't get on there for gossip. I don't get on there for no other reason. But you can see some of the most ungodly, wicked stuff on a phone. And I thought about that. You say, well, is it conviction? Yes, absolutely it's a conviction. Years ago, we would have never, as far as a church, been a part of such ungodly social media as people are anymore in the day and the hour that we're living in. The reason I said that is because sometimes we've got to make a decision about our life. Am I going to be a part of the world and the world system, or am I going to make a declaration over my life that I am not going to get involved in the things of this world? Because the Bible says, if you go back and look at it, it says over in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things of the world. And if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I said that to say this, the church. We can't have a split allegiance. Jesus even told some of his disciples, and he said, either you're for me or you're against me. And I feel that so much in my heart today, that we're living, Brother Dodd, at that place across the board. And I'm not talking about tradition. I'm not talking about hang-ups. I'm talking about reality. Whether we're living a sin-filled life, or we have been sanctified, if you will, and we've been separated out from the things of the world, and we have dedicated ourselves through a sanctification process that we're going to be set apart, meet for the Master, and we're going to serve God. You don't hear much about that anymore. I grew up on that. I grew up being told you've got to commit your way unto God. You've got to serve the Lord with everything within you. When I begin to look at this, I begin to look at what Joshua and the conversations they were having. And instead, when you begin to look at this, and he goes on in verse 23, this is what he says. He says, now therefore, look at the scripture. Put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. What are you saying, Pastor? What he was telling them, yes, they were involved in worship and in idol worship and a lot of other stuff. And I'll get into a little bit of that later on. But yet, Joshua, when he began to tell them this, he also, if you go back into the first part of this chapter, he had rehearsed with them everything that God had done for them and how that God had brought them through on the other side of the Red Sea, how that God had wrought them a great victory, how that God had covered them and God had protected them, even the God of their fathers that had brought them out of the Red Sea and out of Jordan and out of Jericho, that God had wrought a great victory. And now what Joshua was doing on his farewell address, he was calling them back to this place. Incline your ear to the Lord God of Israel. And he says in verse 24, and he says, and the people said unto Joshua, and this is good. He said, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice we will obey. I could shut the book and go home, and I've already preached. Now, that might sound a little bit like, okay. Again, as a pastor, as a shepherd overseeing a flock, I feel this in my heart tonight. I feel the weight of this. I feel the burden. I feel the heaviness of calling a church back to the place of serving God, calling us back to a place and to a place of decision of whether or not we as a church will serve the Lord. So when Joshua had made this proclamation before them, this is what the people said, a covenant. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set a statute. Let me get back up. My eyes jumped a page or two. Put my glasses on and missed a lot. He says, incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. This, at this point, in this conjunction in their relationship with Joshua and with God, they had to make a decision. It was a marked decision in their life. And then the Bible went on to talk about this. Joshua made a covenant with the people and sent them a statute and ordinance to Shechem. Now Shechem, again, you can read the rest of that. And it was there where Abraham made the covenant with God in the original, back with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant that was made there. So it was a covenant that they made with God that day. And in their voice, they were saying to God that we have chosen to serve the Lord. You know, we think about this and we think about our own personal lives today. We think about our world today. And there are several things that we begin to look at, we begin to think about. And again, this is what I've carried since Sunday about with me and the things that I've dealt with and the things that I see and the things that I deal with is that I believe that sometimes that people are in much danger, much peril, if you will. They're in danger of peril, and peril actually means extreme danger, physically or spiritual, if you will. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew, says that before the coming of Jesus, before Jesus comes back in the church, before Jesus comes back in the rapture, the word goes back and the word says that it'll be as it was in the day of Noah, when 8 souls were saved by the grace of God, and they were able to go and God saved them in the ark. My thinking, when I begin to think about that, I begin to think about how it was in the days of Noah. The Bible has already predicted, if you will, how that it was. And if you even go back in the book of Genesis, and I'm not going to take the time to go back there right now, but you can go back to Genesis chapter number 6. In a very short period of time after creation, you can see that God was already to the point then that he was going to wipe man off the earth because of their wickedness. The Bible said that their minds was upon wickedness constantly and all the time. That is, all that they thought about was wickedness. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. And Brother Dodd, and I may need you and Harold to get me out of here in a little bit, so be on standby. But here's the thing. It just blows my mind that we're living in a world today that is so infiltrated with wickedness. Sherry and I went and ate supper right before we came over here. And yes, I overeat, so pray for me. But I was there, and there was a car just barely pulled out just a little bit past the white line at Dario. And there was a guy in a Dodge black truck come by, and he gave that woman a number one sign. And it wasn't that she was number one, if you know what I mean. I told Sherry, I said, people, he blowed the horn, gave her the number one sign that wasn't a number one sign. And I'm thinking, people are just so wicked today, knowing what I was going to preach. Now, I'm going to say something that's crazy, and I shouldn't even say it, but a lot of people don't even need an excuse to shoot you these days. They're just going to shoot you. Ask questions later. You know what I mean? Because we have devalued human life to the point that human life just really don't matter to people anymore. But as it was in the day of Noah, their minds was upon evil continually. And there's all the way through the Word of God. We're going to look at just a few places, and I hope and pray that I wrote these down right when I wrote all of these wrote all of these down earlier. But First Timothy, you know the scripture very well. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we read this, and this is what the Bible talks about the last day. You got to work with me here. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." In other words, Paul, writing to Timothy, was telling him, this is what the Spirit is saying. This is what the Spirit is saying, that in the latter times, are we living in the latter times? I believe we are. Some shall depart from the faith. Here's the thing that I thought about. Many are and many have departed from the faith, but as far as me and my house, we're going to serve God. Come on, somebody. Even though the world is falling apart all around you, even though wickedness is everywhere, Noah found grace in the sight of God. Noah got in the ark. Noah was safe. Somebody say, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Stay safe. Don't run from God. Don't run from the church. But run to God. And I'm thinking, as the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last days, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You say, well, that's happening all around us. Let me give you a little insight from heaven. Yes, it is. But as it is, so we do not have to be. We can serve God in the midst of it. We don't have to fall out with the world. We don't have to go to hell with the world. Are you with me tonight? Just because the world's going down the tube, that don't mean the church is going down the tube. That don't mean you got to go down the tube. That don't mean we have to be a part of the world and the world's economy. And if I'm making you mad tonight, forgive me. If I'm screaming too much, forgive me. Maybe I need to be melancholy. Maybe I need to read a message off of a book and make everybody happy and just go home and, you know, cuddle our dogs and sit in the recliner and wait till the next time. No, 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 no. God, I pray for fire. I pray for revival to come. Even though the world is in the condition, we need to let the world know that there is a hope. And He is a person. His name is Jesus tonight. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live like a pig pen in a pig pen. You don't have to live like the world. You can live different. And then he goes on and he says, and their doctrines of devils. Look at these next couple of verses, and he goes on. And it's in verse number 2 really is the one that got my heart when I was thinking about this message, speaking lies and hypocrisy. That means you can't believe everything you hear. Just because it's on the internet don't mean it's true. Just because it's AI don't mean that it's true. Oh, I got a little bit of a mean streak right here. Just because somebody said the president said it, don't mean he said it. Amen. Sorry, I had to get that one out. If you've not been watching the news, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But look at this. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience, watch this, seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? When I looked that up, it says, and this is what it's talking about, is their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does it mean? It is a moral statement that emphasizes the spiritual state where a person's conscience is rendered insensitized or dead, if you will, to feelings of right and wrong due to persistent sin or hypocrisy or rejecting the truth. Let me go over that again. Their conscience being seared with a hot iron. And he goes on and he talks about this. And he says that immorality, it's a spiritual state where a person's consciousness, if you will, is rendered insensitized or insensitive, if you will, or dead to the feelings of right and wrong. And we're there. I know this is Wednesday night. I don't know if this is what you expected. Friends, this is my heart. It is just so troubling. Our families, our children, our grandchildren. If we fail, who's going to teach them? If we fail a generation, who's going to teach them? And then the latter part of that, it says that that their conscience becomes dead to feelings of right and wrong. And he says, due to a persistent sin of hypocrisy or rejecting the truth. The truth. Here's another one for you. Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. This is again concerning the moral decay of humanity, where they no longer feel guilt, shame. And I'm going to say something that's not in my notes. But I think the church at large needs to be very careful about our vocabulary, the foolish jesting that is mentioned in the New Testament, and that God's last name don't start with a D.
That's right.
And that when you say the name of Jesus, where we have lost the holiness of Jesus, when we have lost the fear of Jesus, the honor of Jesus, the sweet aroma of His name. And people will use His name just in slang, and they'll just say, Jesus Christ. Or they'll come off the lip with something and follow it by something else. Normally a whole lot of other language that's inappropriate for the pulpit.
Amen.
Because our consciousness has been seared as with a hot iron. Because evil today, look at Isaiah 5, 20, 21. When you begin to look at that, this is what it says in the Word. And He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Are we there?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, sweet Jesus. But the church don't have to get sucked into that. God, give me a love for you. Oh, years ago, the girls and different ones sang the song, Falling in Love with Jesus. God, give me a love for your Son again. Give me a love. Let me fall in love with Jesus. Oh, I know it's not going to be for everybody. It can be, but I'm talking about at society at large. You can talk about Jesus, and people will look at you as a calf looking at a new gate. They'll look at you like you're from Mars or somewhere in orbit. Because men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1. But for those of us, according to the book of Psalms, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we talk about the name of Jesus, my friend, that ought to be, as Brother Tim would sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, my friend, we ought to be in the church today. I remember going to church, and I remember when I was younger, in my 20s, if you will, and the elderly man, they never disrespected the name of Jesus. And if they talked about Jesus, it was always in the form of holiness and righteousness and purity. And my friend, the convicting power of God would fall from their lips to my tender heart when I was a kid. And I'm saying, oh, Jesus, would you not one more time again, let us whisper the name of Jesus and let our young people hear us talking about the lovely Lamb of God, the King of glory. Oh, that there would be a holiness back in the house of the Lord as we talk about the name of Jesus. That we, the church, in spite of everything that's going on around us, choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But Joshua was able to say, oh, but Elijah, excuse me, but he was able, Elijah said, but as far as me, he said, we're going to serve God. If you go back to this scripture, and he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness. And to put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I don't know about you, but this is just how I feel this evening. I feel like we're there. I feel like, Brother Tim, we're there. And I feel like that God, in the name of Jesus, I feel like that God is calling the church back to a place to where we're going to have to make a decision. Moral decay. No longer feeling guilt over sin. No longer shamed over choosing evil over good. 2 Timothy 4 and 3. I'm only going to read a couple of these scriptures and move on very, very quick. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know most of this scripture. I'm only going to read verse 3 because this gives you again the synopsis of the society that we're living in this day and the hour. And I don't want to get sucked into this society. I don't want to serve God all these years of my life and then get down to the end of the race and lose my vision and lose my focus and go out into the ways of the world. How many people do you know that's backslid? And how many people do you know that used to serve God? And how many people that used to sit on church pews and somehow or another the God of this world got their attention and they lost their love for God and they begin to follow after the God of the world and they're no longer on the church pew? God help us. God help us. This is what the world is crying for. The time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. Just tell me something, preacher, that's going to make me feel good. You know, seeker sensitive. And I'm not against all of the things that we try to do, but there comes a time in the life of the church and in the life of a human being that's going to spend somewhere in eternity, somewhere we've got to. Brother Dodd, this is the only way I know how to. We've got to feel shamed or guilt over our sins again. It's the only way I know how to say it. I don't want to say what I'm getting ready to say. I don't want to say it. I'll look at the wall if I have to. But if the truth be known, in many factors and many places, there's just as much sin in the church as there is in the world. And everybody thinks they're okay. And this is the condition of the people's lives in the last days. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Repentance. Justification. Righteousness. How about this old-fashioned word? Holiness. But he said, but they, after their own lust, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tickle my ears, preacher. Just tell me how good I am. I'm not trying to be ugly. I don't have nothing to bring. But Lord, just forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. In all of my guilt and all of my shame and all of the disappointments, Lord, I just bring a broken shell to you to fill up with your Spirit. But let me move along real quick. I've not got off of page one. I've got four pages. Who will stay? I'm just preaching my heart tonight. This will probably be the last thing because of time restraints. And then I'm going to go back into Joshua for just a minute. I was reading in devotion, just reading my Bible through again. And again, it hit me. As I was reading about the tabernacle, and I'm certainly not going to take the time to talk about the tabernacle. But God was so specific about everything that He ordained to be put into His house. He told Moses. And then Brother Tim, at the end of that, I was reading that. And everything had to be set apart. Holy. For God. And I don't want to be a a stick in the mud. I don't want to be one of these guys that would come across, even though I know I've been accused of it more than one time, as a holier than thou individual. We used to hear that all the time. I wish somebody would call us a holy roller. I'll leave that there for a moment. But just because I choose not to participate in the things of this world and the evil of this world, it does not make me any better than anybody else. But I choose not to participate in other men's sins, and I set my affections on things above and not beneath. And I keep my eyes focused upon Him at some point to hear God say, well done. The Church of God is a Pentecostal church. We believe in the acts of Pentecost. We believe in the acts of the Holy Spirit. But we're also a holiness church that believes in living a holiness life, separated, set apart from the filth of the world, and dedicated to the things of God. The Bible teaches us not to be participators in other men's sins. That does not make me any better than anybody else. But God has told us in the church to live holy. You say, well, I can't live holy enough. That's why you need God. Amen. That's why you need Him. Amen. Draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. You know, take a step towards God, God's going to take a step towards you. In my weakness, Paul said, in my weakness, my flesh, he said, I was made perfect. But it was through my weakness that God was able to touch me. Here it is. If you look at this in Scripture, and I'm honest, I've only got through page one. I've got like three or four pages I will not get to tonight. A lot of stuff I studied. But I want you to look at this because this is the main part of what I believe God put in my heart. And again, let me go back and say this because some people, this book that we cherish is our roadmap. If you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible. You say, I got one on my app. That's your problem. You need a Bible. You need a Bible. Your own Bible that you can read and you can study and you can mark in and you can put in your note. You need, this is a tool. You need your Bible. And you do with it whatever you want to do with that. That was free. That didn't cost you anything extra tonight. But a lot of people don't believe in the Bible. They don't want anything to do with the Bible. And when we think about this whole thing about holiness this evening, the world at large has turned this whole holiness issue into some type of mean, spirited, arrogant, rude, in your face, Bible thumping, some arrogant something. And it's not that way at all. I believe that God has given the church this hour, this opportunity, me as well. I never really got to the scripture that I wanted to get to, but this is the truth of the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:16. And then I'm going to go back for just a minute to Joshua, and I'll let you, whoever's playing. And this is just one scripture taken out of 1 Peter 1:16, but the point of the matter is because he says, be holy. Holy means pure, don't it? Does holy mean untainted, unspotted, unblemished? He's coming back for a church, a bride, unspotted from the world and unblemished. Now, Joshua was giving them his final address. He said, I'm leaving. I'm dying. I'm gone. This is the best advice I can give you from this day forward. You can serve God, but you've got to make a decision. Or you can go back and you can serve the gods with a little g of the Amorites, all the other ites that's in the Old Testament, the ones that they served on the other side of the flood. But then he comes back and he picks this up in Joshua 24. And he says in verse 14, this was his words to the kings. You can read it there. He gathered all the tribes and all the elders and all the heads and all the judges and all the officers. And they came and they presented themselves before God. And this is the message that he told them. I know this was probably a Sunday morning message, but I just preached it because I feel like God put it on my heart. But he says this, now therefore fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Honor, respect, a godly fear, not an ungodly fear or an unrighteous fear. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, and watch this, and serve him in sincerity. Serve him. Serve God. Give him all you got. Give him all of you. Don't hold back. Old time preachers used to say, 99 won't do. Give him 100% of your life. Your life will be a whole lot better, and my life will be a whole lot better when I'm serving God 100% with a pure heart. And I'm not holding anything back. But I've given him all of me. You say, you sounding like a holiness preacher tonight. Thank you. Somebody says, it don't take all that. It takes all that if you're going to be in the favor of God and the blessings of God. And if you're going to be right with God. It's going to take. They sing that old song, just a closer walk with thee, which is true. God, give me a closer walk. But I want the only walk to be the walk that he wants me to walk. Amen. Let me move on quickly. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Dedicate yourself to him. Okay? And then he says in the middle of 14, and put away the gods, little g, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Remember the golden calf? That was on page 2. I haven't even turned to page 2. Moses was on the mountain, heard it, came down, found out that they had already beckoned upon Aaron. Moses is dead. Forget about that old man. He's out of here. Give us something new. We want another God to serve. Break off your earrings, your nose rings, your belly button rings, your fingernail rings, and all kinds of rings. He didn't say all that. Anymore, it's rings everywhere, you know. I ain't going to say what George Moxley said. He's a little bit braver than me. Looked like he fell in a tackle box, you know. That's what Moxley was saying. I didn't say that. Moxley said that. He said, break off all your earrings and said, make us something to worship. Sorry for that. Make us something to worship. I don't want to be ugly. Brother Dodd, y'all, you and Marlo ready? We're going to run out of here in a minute. I don't want to be ugly. I really don't want to be ugly. But our young people need an example. In the world that we're living in today, of a pure heart with God. Not just some type of formulated religious activity. I'm going to meddle. It's only 8:03, so I got a minute or two to meddle. I've had people as a pastor that's been meaner than a junkyard dog to me and still speak in tongues. Several of them I'd like to have slapped and I wouldn't have repented. But God helped me not to do that as a young pastor, because I knew that my life was on the line. It was that bad, Lynn. It was that bad at times. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple, by your love one to another. If I can't love a young person, please don't be mean to them. Don't be rude to them. Don't be hateful to them. Yes, they get on your nerves. But remember, they're watching us. And a lot of times they're saying, if that's a Christian, I'm Mickey Mouse. And I don't want to be what that is. We have to be careful. Now I've meddled. I'm over it. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. Don't be mean to the preacher either. Jesus is watching you. You say, well, you did this or that. Hey, I'm human just like you. I don't have wings. I make mistakes. I'm flesh. I'm fallible. If you see me make a mistake and I'm fallible, do me a favor. Don't talk about me to somebody. Pray for me. Go tell Jesus on me. Go tell my daddy. Go tell him. Let him deal with the preacher. I hope this has helped somebody. But Joshua, they were said, serve him. Choose you this day. Are you on the Lord's side? And he's telling them, serve him. And that's the only thing I can tell the church tonight. Serve the Lord. Amen. Choose God and serve him. Put away the idol gods. Put away the things that is not of God. That you did on the other side of Egypt. That you done when you were still in sin. That you've done in your ignorance. You've done before you come to know God. Oh, I could go off on another little tangent. I don't want to do this. You've got to do this. I believe that when you get saved, I know people struggle. It took me about 2 years to get that round can out of my pocket and that pouch of Levi out of my back pocket. I was a welder. It was cool, man. That's what welders did. And then I fell in love with Jesus and got saved. And I had to make up my mind as a young man, either you're going to keep doing the things that you want to do, Green, or you're going to do the things that I've chosen you to do. And if you'll do what I've chosen you to do, I will bless you. I had to make my mind up. I had to separate my life from things that was keeping me bound. Put away those things. You see if God won't bless you. You see if God won't bless you if you'll surrender your life to Him and you give yourself totally 100% over to God. You'll see that God will bless you. And then he goes on and he says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, see, there's where a decision's got to be made. Then he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served and served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, this is the whole crux of the message right down here in one verse. What is your decision? You say, well, preacher, you know me. I mean, we're here all the time. You know me and I know you. That's true. We know each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we do not know each other's hearts. We do not know each other's struggles. We do not know what we battle in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirits when we walk out these doors. All of us have some sort of battle going on. But I believe that it's better with God than away from God. And then he says, as Joshua was saying, he says, but as for me, I like that. Stand with me. Can you make that decision? Can you make that proclamation over your life tonight? It's one of those, but as for me moments. May not be for my wife, may not be for my kids, may not be for my grandkids, may not be for the choir director, may not be for the preacher, may not be for the praise team, the piano player, the drum player, the Sunday school teacher, whatever they do. But as for me, I've got to answer to God for me. I've got to make my mind up. You see, that's the thing that changed me as a young person. Because I had to make my mind up, Brother Lynn. As a very young person, I got saved at 18. I was blessed. I was super, super blessed. 22-year-old started preaching, Brother Dodd. 22. And you've heard my story. I was in a revival. Revival can change lives. And I was about the third seat. They were metal chairs at the Mountain View Church of God. And a gray-headed man with a beard was preaching. Can't remember his name. Don't know his name. All I remember is looking at that gray beard as a young person. And I'm thinking, he's old. Now I got one, you know. I looked and I said, he's old. And that man said these words that night in revival. He said, I wasted 20 years of my life. 20 years of my life I ran from God. 20 years. And as a young person, at the Mountain View Church of God, second or third row, I said to God, God, if you want me, get me now. I don't have 20 years to waste. 22-year-old, started preaching. And I'm 63 last week, had birthday last week. So however many years, 41 years. However it works. God has honored that commitment. Does it mean it's always been easy? Oh no, been everything but easy. But tonight I can say, but as for me, I'm going to serve God. Father, I did what I felt I was supposed to do. Lord, I delivered my heart. I delivered my soul. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you, Lord, would take this message tonight, God, and that God, that you would season it with your anointing. And God, I don't want to try to portray that I'm anything in and of my flesh or in and of myself. And I don't want to say, God, that I've done anything, because God, I've not done it in myself. It's been through and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God, I do know that that is one of the very important elements of being full of the Holy Ghost, is being able to live for God through adversity. That you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not doing it in your own power. But greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world. Amen. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? And this is not for the preacher. But as you do this act of faith, and as God looks upon your act of faith, I believe it's a recommitment of your life to God. And as you raise your hand, it's an outward and a visible sign that God, I choose you. I choose you over everything else. I choose you. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand. Say, Lord, I choose you. But as for me, I make my mind up tonight, oh God, that I'm going to serve you. And Lord, I'm going to go after you with everything that is within me. That I'm going to please you, God, with everything that is within me, Lord. I'm going to go after you tonight, God. And Father, you see every hand, you see every heart, you see every life. And God, we make these outward and visible commitments, Lord, that all may see, but it's not for others to see, God. It is for you to see. It is for you to look upon the heart of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And you're saying, tonight, God, as you being my helper, Lord, I will serve you. All the days of my life, Lord, I will serve you. One more time, just raise those hands as an act of worship and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, tonight. Everything I am, everything I'm not, God, I'm going after you with a pure heart. God, I want to serve you all the days of my life, Lord. God, I know we're frail. I know we have fallen. I know, God, that we have faltered along the way. But Lord, we confess our dependency upon you tonight, God, in this house. We confess tonight, God, that without you, we cannot do anything at all. But God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Lord, we are more than conquerors tonight, Paul said. And thanks be unto God that which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do have the victory tonight. We can live in victory. Hallelujah! Because of what Jesus came to do. And Jesus came to set the captive free tonight. Oh, hallelujah to His name. Hallelujah to His name tonight. Oh, glory to God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless God. Has He set anybody free? Has He set you free from the bondages of sin and the grip of the devil tonight? Has He set you free tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's resurrection power in your heart tonight? Hallelujah. That God's coming back for a church that's ready. Ready. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for praying for the pastor. Thank you for praying for the folks in our church this week that need prayer. And I'm just praying that God, you would speak to us as we go on throughout this week. And that God, you'll bring us back Sunday morning and let revival fires burn in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Love on somebody. You're free to go in Jesus' name.